Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 18th of May, recording at 5:22 p.m. British Standard Time, earlier than usual. Now, for the first time today, we're seeing a somewhat steadier tone in these stock markets. And some of the Asian markets are a bit firmer, not all of them by any means, but are the ones that I looked at. I've looked at most of them, but Kuala Lumpur was firmer. The Japanese Nikkei was up 206 points, that's almost 2%. Hang Seng Index up almost a point, having fallen by about 50%. I think Mark Glowry had told me it had retraced 50% of its rally. Then I have to say that some of the other Asian indices that I look at do look overextended on the downside. Now, you know, we had that blowout in India, and then that's rebounded and is up again today, but it'll need to do a good deal more to indicate something in addition to just a temporary technical rebound. Now, the one, though, that I featured with a couple of charts on the website today that I will certainly keep a close eye on, not only because I have personal interest there, but also it has been such a good lead indicator, is of course Thailand. You know my view. I've always said this over the decades, that every market cycle has its leaders, and the leaders tend to lead both ways. And Thailand, above all others, was the key leader of the stock market cycle on the way up, with a big base formation and very clear uptrend this time last year. You can see that chart is on a weekly chart basis. Then it was the first peak with a high in January and head down. I'd mentioned on the way up that the leaders often lead both ways, and so keep an eye on Thailand. Now, India was also in that category, not quite as strong a leader, a clearer leader as Thailand. And then the NASDAQ, and those three were really the main leaders. Here. Now, it certainly is too soon to say that they're giving us anything of a positive nature here at this stage, although Thailand is getting a bit overstretched again. But are we going to see just the third technical rally of the year since that high in January, or is it going to do something more? And as I mentioned in the comment of the day, will it require a base formation to sustain a really worthwhile gain? And my overall view, as you know, is that we could quite easily see stock markets rebound from here a bit, and then either just extend the range or more likely head lower again. I think the chances of a really powerful rebound that carries meaningfully through to new recovery high ground, which I would define for any of these indices, is at least 10% above the high that we've seen earlier this year. I rate that as a really low possibility, and I rate about as an equal possibility that markets could crash from here over the next few weeks or months. Now, how am I actually playing it? Well, possibly a little bit too aggressively for the short-term oversold position, because I haven't lifted any of my short positions. And as a matter of fact, I continue to add to them. I opened this morning a short position, this time in the September contract for the S&P 500 index. That was increasing that position by about a third. And I'm losing a few points on it at the moment, in addition to the spread costs of that trade, because as I speak, Wall Street's right around the highs of the day so far, definitely at the highs of the day so far, up 76 on the Dow, 9.5 on the S&P, and 25 points on the NASDAQ. Those aren't big gains, but it is a steadier performance. And Europe closed with the Dow and the S&P, NASDAQ with gains of no more than half that. So if Wall Street were to close here, that I would assume that, barring any adverse news, which is a high risk coming from the Middle East, that we would see the European markets a little bit firmer tomorrow, and quite possibly the Asian markets as well, again responding to this short-term oversold condition. Now, my strategy here is that I'd really like to see a further sell-off, and then I would do a little baby steps lightening of some of the positions that I have out. Of course, the market doesn't care what I would like to see. It's just a mob of made up of all of us who invest and trade. So, as I say, I may be pushing it a little bit too hard here, in which case, well, I've got at least 85% of my short positions protected within the money stops, and if we rally from here, the stops are reasonably close, so I would get stopped out at somewhat reduced profits overall, and then decide what to do with the currently unprotected short positions. Now, overall strategy, though, I maintain that this is a very dangerous market for equities. I would not be suggesting that, well, I'm not tempted to put any new money in the stock market at this stage. I don't think it's an attractive time. I think we have to really pick our shots in stock markets. We do not have any secular bull trend. I think quite the opposite. We've got a secular bear trend here, so one really does want to be careful. That said, as you know, I was trying to buy a little of the J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust yesterday, and missed that little window when it dropped down to 89. I think it's rebounded. I saw it earlier today. It was up at back up at 105. Now, my overall position, as you know, is it's greatly reduced in equities, but my remaining longs, which are almost entirely in Asia in my pension fund and in this my self-administered pension fund and in some ISA, those are tax-efficient accounts in the UK. There I have some positions still, but those are hedged, albeit asymmetrically, and a good deal more than hedged by my net short position, largely in European stock market futures plus the S&P. So I don't like this environment overall, and as I've said before, captive investors, those are people who have to be in the market all the time. Well, I'd be very defensive. I'd look at high yielders, and because you lose less with those for the most part, and high covered yields. And I also think that some of the mining shares, which have taken one heck of a battering recently, are looking reasonably attractive once again. So, for instance, I have silver in the precious metals. I'm playing the precious metals through silver. I think gold is cheap and in an accumulation zone at this stage. I've described it as having maybe a $20-$25 downside risk versus hundreds on the upside, although not hundreds on the upside this year, but certainly a lot more than the $25 downside risk on the upside this year, subject to the US dollar's moves. But I've been playing that through silver because of its volatility, which is up a little bit today. And those who didn't want the commodity, which I think is the safest, there would be things, well, there's various different silver stocks. An old favorite of mine is Silver Standard Resources, code SSRI, which is listed in the US, which again has taken a big hammering here recently. But I'm not looking for any upside drama on these. We have seen they're cheap. I think they're definitely cheap. But last time, excuse me, when we were buying them, excuse me, we were buying them coming out of base formations, or we were buying them on setbacks within clear upward trends. And this time, we would be buying them after a sharp sell-off. And sometimes markets require a long convalescence following a sharp sell-off. In other words, they range sideways for quite a long time because confidence is low and people are unwilling to purchase aggressively. And inevitably, there are some stale bulls around who own positions that were purchased at higher levels who would still like to get out on any rally. So it can take time for them to recover. In bond markets, a somewhat softer tone in here today. I'm not doing anything in bonds except hoping that the US Treasuries rally a little bit further. They are above 30-year Treasuries June or above where I covered my short, but following that key day reversal I think that we saw on Friday, I'd like to see a better rally than this before going in and shorting again. I do have a short in JGBs, about half of the short before I took the previous profit at some stage. I think it was early last month, and I'm about unchanged on that position I'm right now. But basically, I'm looking to sell bond futures on rallies because I maintain that the secular bull market ended in June of last year and that we're in a top extension phase and a very late stage of that top extension, which will be followed by lower bond prices and higher government bond yields. In terms of, oh, I know people still ask from, well, people do ask from time to time about emerging market debt and high yield, to call junk bonds. Well, the risk is high, and those yields have been increasing recently, and I think they would continue to increase. The best time to buy those is when stock markets have taken an almighty wallop, and confidence is very, very low, and you just have to wait for that. We will have opportunities, whether it's this year or next year or 2006, we will definitely see it again. In the currency markets, now we've got the euro slipping back against the dollar, but it's back to 119.67. But as you know, it has held near that low at around 117.75, and there's a chance that that was the bottom, but it's by no means conclusive on the charts at this stage. The euro yen position that I closed out yesterday has fallen back. It had a high of 137.87. It's currently back at 136.62. That's right around where I closed the long position, took the profit on the euro against the yen. And I said it was looking a bit overextended following the additional surge after I closed it yesterday. And of course, this fallback here today just suggests that, that this might now be in a topping out process. And if this rolls over and doesn't move down too quickly, it might tempt me to go in and actually short the position. But I would have the interest rate differential, which is only 200 basis points, but nevertheless, that would I'd be on the wrong side of that. And I'm never all that keen to do that. But I might consider actually shorting the euro against the yen if the pattern continues to well, encourages me to do so. So it's something I'd have to wait for as in terms of opportunities. I'm resisting the temptation to buy the euro against the US dollar at this stage because I don't see enough evidence that the dollar's rally is actually over. It's not a bad idea to keep a low profile in many of these markets. Now, in the metals, well, I mentioned the silver is up a little bit, palladium's down a little bit. They're mixed. Gold quiet here, 377 down a little bit. But I'm just going to pick up these base metals, these LME traded industrial metals. And I notice we've got this massive backwardation still in tin. Well, I think it's come in a wee bit, but it's still $700 on tin. That's about 9%. So, absolutely huge. I mentioned that that looked like a bear squeeze. Somebody's caught short and being pressured by the LME ring dealers. But some of the other metals are a little bit steadier. Lead is today. Copper's a little bit steadier. Well, pretty well all of them. They are all a bit steadier in here today. So again, I think that these are at interesting levels, but anything dramatic on the upside, interesting levels in terms of accumulation on the supply and elasticity theme, but any big drama on the upside, well, I think that would be a pleasant surprise rather than something I would actually expect. Now, I'm just noticing commodities. One that I'm keeping an eye on because it's taken such a beating is that orange juice is up almost a cent in here today, and that's on the July contract, that's at 56.60. So it's off a low of 55.65 here earlier today. And this has just been beaten to death. These are all-time historic lows for orange juice. And a number of you have, I know, have been looking for a rebound, which for me would be very much in the nature of a bear squeeze. The fundamentals, of course, have been predictably awful. Loads and loads of orange juice around and good crop prospects, but at some point that's all in the market, and people have not only shorted sufficiently, they've overshorted, and the market's subject to a technical rebound. I'll keep an eye on that, but I may chicken out in terms of actually playing that, because it would I've got a whole load of speculative positions in here, perhaps a few more than I actually should. Last but not least, the oil price is helping stock markets a bit here today, because this has been very much a focus of attention and has been worrying people, understandably so. And crude oil's down 74 cents as I speak. That brings the spot price back to 40.81. But as long as it's above 40, dollars, I maintain that it's at a level that presents a headwind for not only stock markets but also global economies. And I see a number of reports saying that this isn't that big a deal, and the fact that if you adjust oil for inflation and then you take in the efficiency scales that corporations have employed and that automobiles use, that it's not as serious as it was, say, a couple of decades ago. Well, that's all true. But of course, as long as oil is in an uptrend and firmly supported, say above $40 NYME spot crude, then there's the very real risk that it goes somewhat higher. And I think that we are going to be faced with uncomfortably high oil prices for quite some time. And I take no comfort from the fact that oil is not that expensive at current levels, because when I look at the charts, I could easily see oil moving considerably higher over the next few years. It wouldn't take much, with refining capacity really stretched, with so much of the production coming from unstable regions. Okay, maybe $10 of the current price reflects those uncertainties, but not without good reason, in my view. It's not exactly as if every mom and pop is long oil futures in here. So this is a real headwind, as I've already said, for markets. Okay, I think that's just about it. So have a splendid evening.